We're examining the news, waiting for where's the news about my exit strategy? How do I get out of this place before the whole thing blows up? Different people are going to experience different outcomes relative to what the Antichrist is bringing on the earth. Will there be some people that he prevails against? Yeah, sure. The same ones that Satan is prevailing against right now, because they're broke, they're busted, they're disgusted, they're getting trampled underfoot because demonic imps are being sent against them, and they believe that there's more power sitting in the kingdom of darkness than sitting in the kingdom of God.
You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall.
Hey friends, we're back on Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. A couple of things before we get to the real meat. Number one, Awakened, my latest book on the pre-Adamic ages, creation, the spirit of man. It is available. It's changing lives. Let it change yours. Number two, DanDuvall.com is the home of the Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall podcast. We do offer an opportunity for our podcast patrons to sit down in a round table once a month with yours truly. We're having a great time, friends. The minimum commitment is $5 a month. So if you want to support what God is doing here, just go to DanDuvall.com. Keep in mind, DanDuvall.com is completely separate from Bride Ministries. Three, Bride Ministries is getting a free commercial today because we're going to be doing in the fall a marriage and family advance. It's going to be amazing. And it's going to be at a beautiful resort. I want you to check it out at the bridemovement.com website. If you're married and you want to take your marriage a few steps further than where you've been parked, all the details are there. It's on our events page. We're going to get to the podcast. Don't go anywhere. I'll see you on the other side. All right, friends. So today we are going to talk about World War III, about the end of the age, about the Antichrist, and about fear. Because a lot of you guys, if you're really honest with yourselves, are scared. What are you scared of? The world blowing up? Yeah, Dan Duvall, that's exactly what I'm afraid of. The world blowing up. Because there's some crazy stuff going on and some crazy people in charge of some crazy tech. What are we going to do? Friends, all over the place, there are reasons for us to be in fear and shock and also inner turmoil. Because at the end of the day, the season that we're in could produce uncomfortable outcomes. Outcomes like economic collapse, the death of certain currencies, physical death of people fighting in war zones. And one of the things that I'm saying is, I'm not convinced by what I believe God has shown me that the conflict in the Middle East is going to end anytime soon. I mean, can you imagine when we were getting into it with Iraq years ago under the Bush administration, and, you know, thinking, oh, maybe we'll just be out of here in a few weeks. Like, fast forward to the future, looking back, yeah, that would have been a pretty crazy position. Well, here we are, and there are things, the conflict is taking on a life of its own, friends. And yeah, we're getting reports, and we're getting, you know, communications from different voices, and they're all saying different things. But at the end of the day, our question has to be, what are we going to do? And what are we going to do if this World War III scenario does produce the biblical Antichrist or the Islamic Mahdi or the Messiah of the Orthodox Jews? What are we going to do if we're still here? One of the things that has, you know, definitely divided people on me over the years, and there have been many, believe me, but one of the things is that I've been very consistent in my position that the pre-trib rapture is a load of baloney. And I know I'm probably hurting someone's feelings by saying that, but friend, if you think through the years since 1988, when a book came out that literally was 40 reasons why the rapture will occur in 1988 or something crazy like that, like how many pre-trib rapture theories and predictions have there been since that time? I mean, every so many years, There's another date being set by people that earnestly believe that their great hope is an escape route, and over again, they're wrong. So here we are. Bombs and missiles are flying in the Middle East. There is no clear end of that conflict in sight. And now, from a global perspective, there are going to be economic outcomes that are tied to the conflict that may make whole nations uncomfortable. What is that going to mean? What if the holy war that some Islamists believe they are fighting now actually does produce the manifestation of who they are calling their Mahdi, that's supposed to and prophesied in their text to come before Jesus Christ ends the age? Or what if the Orthodox Jews get a manifestation of a supernatural being with supernatural powers like they believe? Because, you know, the Orthodox Jews, they rejected Jesus. They're not looking for him, and they're not looking for his return. They're looking for another Messiah. But, right, they believe that the production of a third temple will produce some of the necessary earthly manifestations to bring this being into full light. Friends, what I want to tell you is God is greater. What I want to tell you is I'm not here to help you figure out a way to get out of the devil's warpath. I'm here to tell you how to stand in the power of God and oppose the devil's warpath. That's been my position in Bride Ministries from the beginning. We're here to get people trained, equipped, deprogrammed, healed, delivered, and raise up an army of kings and priests in Christ Jesus to deal the kingdom of darkness a black eye they can't recover from as we occupy until he comes. Now we're going to talk about Antichrist. Because all these concerns and all the swirling, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? What about this? What about that? You know, some of you have been living on YouTube videos, just literally, you know, like just consuming nonstop content, trying to get to the bottom of what you want to believe. And it's just like, I don't know how to, you know, satisfy this insecurity on the inside of me with more news clips. Let me tell you, friends, news clips never satisfy insecurities on the inside of us. But what does is Jesus. And sometimes we need to break with certain types of religious programming in order to gain perspective. One of the reasons why people are terrified of Antichrist is because they've been presented with specific passages and an interpretation of those passages that is entirely scary to them. Namely, that God is going to give the Antichrist power to destroy anyone who believes in Jesus for a period of time, and then he'll come back. So we are basically left without any hope if Antichrist manifests. And for that reason, you have certain people in different theological camps. And one of those theological camps is the dispensational premillennialist camp, which believes in a pre-tribulation rapture. And they say, that's why I know God loves me, because Antichrist is going to destroy everyone that believes in Jesus. So because I can believe that God will magically vanish and disappear me out of earth, I can trust that God loves me. And it's like, okay, well, what if Jesus disarmed principalities and powers, triumphing over them, making an open show of them in it, and there is a power in you that's superior to whatever power could manifest in Antichrist? Would that change your need to assume the only way God could love you is by disappearing you out of the earth before something bad happens? Let me tell you something, friends. There are people all over the world that believe in Jesus that are being hammered by evil rulers and tyrants and dictators now. They've gone through it for the past 2,000 years, going back to Rome, Christians literally being fed to lions in Colosseums. I'm telling you, friends, the perspective that God is going to walk his body into is that we have the superior God with superior resources and superior armies, despite what the devil is bringing on the earth, even up and into the manifestation of their Antichrist. And if we fully understand, comprehend, and begin to get a grip on what we actually could be working with relative to this guy, we're going to get a clearer picture on why we actually don't need to determine whether or not God loves us on the basis of a pre-tribulation rapture, which a growing percentage of the church, by the way, is breaking rank with anyway. A lot of people are like, look, if that was God's plan, it would have happened by now. Like, there's clearly something else going on. I've never, friends, since 2008, bought into a pre-trib rapture. I've instead taken a different path with God, where I've believed God for all of the resources, all the glory, all the power, and all the truth. I need to provide leadership to myself and my family through whatever kind of opposition or tribulation this world and this life may bring. Let me tell you a few things. The whole premise that the Antichrist gets power from Jesus to destroy the followers of Jesus is a fallacy. And I'm going to prove it to you here. Number one, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is one of the passages that people trip up on. It says, beginning in verse 8, and then the lawless one. So the context is the restrainer is removed. It says, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming. And that word coming in the Greek actually means return. So the Antichrist is an entity based on this word use that isn't only arriving for the first time, but somehow and for some reason has been here before and is in some kind of return. Anyway, it says, and the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. This is where we begin our anchor point on who Antichrist is and the power he's working with. Nothing about Antichrist's manifestation has to do with the power of God. Jesus doesn't give him anything. Jesus isn't giving him authority. Jesus isn't giving him power. Jesus is not doing that. Satan is. You have to begin your understanding of what Antichrist will do, may do, maybe, or may not be capable of with this statement. His power comes from Satan exclusively. And this breaks rank with what some people have assumed, which is the assumption that since God wrote in his word he would make war with the saints and other passages we're about to talk about, God is giving him the power to destroy the people that believe in Jesus. No. The power to destroy the people that believe in Jesus, it comes exclusively from Satan. With that said, let's look at Revelation 13 and continue walking through some of this stuff. It says in verse 1, then I stood on the sand of the sea. And by the way, when John is writing this, he's actually on the Isle of Patmos, which is in the Mediterranean Sea. I'm just going to say this. I believe that the Mediterranean Sea, specifically among many seas throughout the earth, the Mediterranean Sea as some type of exclusive, unique, and centerpiece role in the end of the age. Because this is the sea that John is standing on. It says, then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. By the way, you know, if you didn't know, right, the Mediterranean Sea touches not only the Isle of Patmos, but modern day Israel and the Vatican in Italy and Egypt and all of the countries surrounding that, all having key roles in certain end times biblical prophecy, just for the record. Now, moving on, it says, I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns, 10 crowns. And on his head, a blasphemous name. Now, the beast, which I saw, was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power. And this is the point. When we look at the beast coming out of the sea in Revelation 13, this is the biblical Antichrist being described. He is described as receiving his power from a very specific source. It does not say Jesus, friend. It does not say God the Father. It does not say Yahweh. It says Satan. Satan gives him his power, his throne, and great authority. Now, when we understand that, that means that we understand the full breadth of everything the Antichrist is capable of operating in comes from an exclusive source. He's not borrowing beyond what Satan has. Then it says, I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. Verse 4, so they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him? Verse 5, and he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and was given authority to continue 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe and tongue and nation. Now, this is where people say, wait a minute. There it is, Dan. God's giving this Antichrist all this authority to destroy people like me. And that's why I'm scared. Doesn't say that. His power to do that comes from Satan. The only power with which he can make war comes from Satan. The only power with which he can blaspheme the name of God and those who dwell in heaven comes from Satan. The only power he can use to make war with the saints and overcome them comes from Satan, which means any person on earth that Satan is not currently overcoming despite his best efforts is also outside of the purview of the Antichrist to overcome, because Antichrist gets his power and authority from Satan. This changes a few things, friends. What does it change? It changes our perspective from a fear-based, victim-based perspective. Because we're not going up against a manifestation of an Antichrist that is getting power from our God to destroy us. We're going up against an Antichrist that gets all of his power from an enemy our God has already defeated. Think about that for a minute. When I say we serve a superior God with superior resources and superior armies, what I mean is that the name of Jesus is the name that is above every name, and at his name every knee must bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. He is the God that is seated upon the throne of David until all of his enemies are made his footstool. The Bible says that he has disarmed principalities and powers, triumphing over them, making an open show of them in it. It is that victory that we are grafted into in this age. It is that victory that overshadows every operation of Satan now. And when Satan brings about his son, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist manifestation to the earth, he's going to sit under the same shadow of superiority that exists with our God and our government as Satan does. Take that. Now, when you begin to internalize that, now, friend, I'm talking to your heart. How can you conclude that God's best response to his defeated enemy is to take you out of the way before he can hurt you, because he's afraid that there's nothing you can do about that? He already beat that. All right. Now we begin to understand the end of the age is a showdown, friends. It's a showdown between light and dark. Between Christ and Antichrist, between the bride of Christ and the bride of Satan, or the bride of Antichrist. And when we look at our role relative to all of these things, we get to do something profound: disintermediate fear. I don't have to be afraid of what the devil is bringing on the earth, because my God has already overcome it. I'm in him, and there's an army that's in him. And I believe that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you become part of it. That's how it works. We are members of a kingdom that is not of this world. Now we can take this into the book of Daniel and ground this out even further, because so many of us are operating in fear. We have so much fear to be too much fear to be useful to God. We're examining the news, waiting for where's the news about my exit strategy? How do I get out of this place before the whole thing blows up? God sent you here to blow the devil up, friend. That's why you were sent. You have a mission. You have a purpose. You have a heavenly scroll. God sent some of his most powerful generals into the earth in this time frame to be awakened unto the greatest showdown between heaven and hell, light and dark, that has ever manifested on this planet. We have a privilege of being here for one of the most unique times in all of history. You want to take fear and shut yourself down and, you know, dial back and retreat into a cave in a hole, hide in a shell because you believe some lies about what the devil is actually working with? Give me a break. That's why I'm talking to you. Your God is bigger than that. And in him, you can do the extraordinary. The Bible says, in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, a whole lot about a character called the Little Horn. And one of the things that happens as we go through this passage is this little horn aligns with biblical Antichrist top to bottom. We get a lot of knowledge about who the biblical Antichrist is and what he will do based on this little horn. It says in verse 21 of Daniel 7, I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and was prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High God, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. And so some people would say, oh, there it is again. Antichrist, he's prevailing against the saints. He's making war with them. Yeah, but guess what, friends? Not all of the saints are going to listen to me. Not all of the saints even believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit for today. There are a lot of believers all over the world that have dedicated their lives to propagating a version of Christianity that believes in core tenets of the faith while denying the power of the God we serve. The reality is, different people are going to experience different outcomes relative to what the Antichrist is bringing on the earth. Will there be some people that he prevails against? Yeah, sure. The same ones that Satan is prevailing against right now, because they're broke, they're busted, they're disgusted, they're getting trampled underfoot because demonic imps are being sent against them, and they believe that there's more power sitting in the kingdom of darkness than sitting in the kingdom of God. It's part of their belief system. They believe God abandoned them, rejected them. They bought into a orphan spirit. They are operating under all kinds of generational iniquity, which they are not taking a path and a journey of deliverance and freedom from in Jesus' name. And so the reality is, if Satan is besting people now because of their rejection of the power of God or because of the deliverance they haven't chosen to receive yet, whatever those open doors are, that will probably continue once the Antichrist manifests, because he's borrowing on that power. The more healing, the more freedom, the more breakthrough, and the more deprogramming the body of Christ gets now, the more of an army the Antichrist will have to contend with that he is not able to leverage the power of Satan over. This is another breaking point. In real time, certain outcomes are being decided. There are people, some of you sitting out there, you don't even believe that God has deliverance for his church. You actually believe that deliverance is wrong. You may want to reconsider that. There are people that really have issue that God would heal our souls. You may want to reconsider that. Brokenness in the soul, brokenness in the spirit, brokenness in the body, demonic bondage, generational iniquity. These are the gates by which legal access is established by the kingdom of darkness, allowing them to overtake us in our callings, our mandates, our purpose, our destiny in this world, the things that we're supposed to do. Now, the more that we clean up now, friends, the more we deprogram people now, friends, break people free from the satanic ritual abuse and the government-sponsored mind control agendas they've been subjected to, the less the Antichrist agenda works. Because the only power he can borrow on against us is the power Satan's already working with. And most of that power is established by legalities that haven't been fully resolved by the finished work of Jesus Christ because of our choice to say yes to God. We actually sit at the nexus point of outcomes relative to our lives going into the end of the age. There is personal responsibility and stewardship that sits with every one of us. In other words, let me break it down for you real simple. What do you want to say yes to? Do you want to say yes to bondage and cycles of defeat and failure? Do you want to say yes to change in Jesus' name? That's where it starts. What are we saying yes to? Because that part flows right into this revelation. Jesus is not sitting there giving the Antichrist an assignment to destroy the lives of people that follow him. He's saying, who's going to follow me and reveal my power in all the heavens and the earth? That's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for that company of people, the heavenly company, the ascended company. You know, the Bible says we have been raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenly places, according to Ephesians chapter 2. He already did all the stuff. He dimensionally repositioned us in his kingdom. He's invited us into his throne room. The Bible says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. We're a heavenly company. We're operating ideally out of a dimension that supersedes everything the second heaven has to offer. What are we doing being afraid of Satan? I can't take it. I need you to understand, friend, the God that we put our faith in, whose name is Jesus, is superior to everything and every being that blasphemes his name and opposes his agenda. He is the God who died to save the world. He is the God who resurrected from the dead. He is the God that has the keys of hell and death and delivers us from the grave. And that's the same God that's got our back going into the end of age, despite whatever Satan can give over to this guy we're calling Antichrist or Little Horn. And at the end of the day, guess what happens? We win. And so, moving on from there, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 8, and this is another passage that we just need to wrap our mind around. Okay? It says in verse 9, out of one of them came a little horn which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. And it grew up to the host of heaven, and it cast some of the host and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them. This actually talks about the interdimensional supernatural operations of the Antichrist. There is going to be a convergence of that which is spirit and that which is natural on its campaign, on its agenda. This is the world at the end of the age is going to become both spiritual and physical in every sense of the word. It's wild, right? But then it says he even exalted himself as high as the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down because of the transgression. An army was given to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifices. He cast truth to the ground. He did all of this and prospered. And this is where we begin to get the idea of, oh, now I can understand why the political Zionists want a third temple. They want a third temple so they can restart a daily sacrifice, which that God of the Bible doesn't actually want or need, but it's actual blasphemy because Jesus Christ died once and for all. So any physical sacrifice of an animal in a third temple is a transgression against God, at least the God of the Christians, right? But the political Zionists want that third temple because this is what they lean into and say, well, yeah, but then when we get the third temple, we get this guy because there needs to be a sacrifice so we can come in and shut it down and be the Antichrist. What a good idea to support that political agenda with our dollars. I really struggle with some of the logic patterns, and I just call it like I see it, friends. One of the things about me, and I'm just gonna say this, I don't have it in me to sell out. Let me say this, as we go down through Daniel chapter 8, the Bible says at the latter times. And this is verse 23, of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. That's the power of Satan. He shall destroy fearfully and shall prosper and thrive, and he shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Wait a minute. There it is again, Dan. Isn't he going to destroy all the Christians? Answer, what power is he working with to destroy here? Again, his power is limited to whatever Satan has to give him. He isn't borrowing power on our God, but we are. And we have the superior God with superior resources and superior armies, superior wealth, and a superior kingdom. It's not what you think. So watch what happens. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule. He shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against a prince of princes. Now, that would be Jesus. But he shall be broken without human means. Oh, end of story. Yeah, because when you get to the end of the book, Jesus comes and destroys this guy with the sword out of his mouth, Revelation 19. Until then, friends, we are not isolated to victimhood relative to this guy. There are always going to be believers that believe against the power of God, that hold fast to their bondage and are overtaken by the evil agendas against their lives. And they choose that while putting their faith in their for their salvation in Jesus Christ. But there's going to be a company of people that arises in the end of the age, friends. And according to Daniel 11, it says, they shall be strong and do great exploits. Those are the people I want to hang with. Those are the people I want to equip. Those are the people I want to talk to. I believe, if you're listening to me, you're called to be those people. And so, let's get it straight, friends. We've been sent here for such a time as this. We have divine assignment, scroll purpose, mandate. It's not a one-sided problem. There are two sides to conflict, and God is raising up his army of men and women that will serve him with power and glory and grace and mercy, flowing through them to the earth to bring about his agendas in the end of the age. With that said, till next time, God bless and Godspeed.